And we're in.
Hello.
Another new guest.
It's me, everybody.
No one has any idea who you are.
It's D-Money.
D-Money,
like they like to call me.
Oh, Daryl.
It is.
You know what? You're actually too loud. So you're the first person that we've had on that's too loud. There you go. Perfect.
It just about like that. Shall I cut the balls? I'm holding this mic, and it's like a 12-inch big cock.
Big, isn't it? This is why we want to, when me and Steph move, why we want to incorporate having microphone stands, because for the people that obviously don't know this fucking setup, we're having to hold the microphones in our hands because I don't actually have anywhere to put a fucking stand. Because I know you can get big stands, but it would be like fucking 6 foot tall and then down on your face like that. Whereas the other ones,
like if you're down on your knees, sucking a massive dick.
Of course. It's going to be one of those.
Not my first time.
Or you got to like clamp them down and it's the logistics of it doesn't fucking work. So we're resigned to having to hold it in front of our faces.
You should be
absolutely fine.
I feel fine. I'm excited.
Good.
I'm excited. I've got a what's the buttons boner. It's it's not a new thing. All your listeners get them. So just write in, say if you don't get it, and then I think you're actually classed as gay if you don't get a what's the buttons boner.
This is going to be great. This is going to be absolutely great. I'm sweating.
A sup of this mango loco. I stopped at the BP, didn't I? Had to get them in.
You got these at the BP, did you? You pay premium for them?
Nah, BP have a special offer, I know, because I'm all over the special offers.
Oh, mango locos. I've had far too many energy drinks in the last week. It's not good for you.
Oh, sorry, mate. I would have got you in a...
That's absolutely fine, because I'll never say no.
A little Purdy's. Super healthy water.
Is that those little fucking metal kits?
Yeah, like 17 quid for a fucking metal bit of bollocks.
If you... Daryl's a would you say like a closet nerd?
Yeah, I suppose I grew up when gaming sort of came out.
Yeah,
a long time ago when the ZX Spectrums were out and you were playing.
Because there's a big old age gap between us. How old are you?
46. Yeah,
I'm 27. There's a gap.
There's a bit of a gap. So I've been through it, but I suppose I was sort of classed as a bit of a jock, but closet nerd.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when I was a kid, I was a fucking specimen. I mean, I can run fast. I've got great hand coordination. I can run really, really fast. I mean, if I was in the Paleolithic times, I would have had so much monkey puss, you just would not have believed. But that's not the case. This day and age, everyone likes a little nerd. I feel a little bit like 21 Drum Street, you know, old Channing. Like,
is that what you feel like? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like I can walk into a shop and
from
nerds will love me.
I feel like from sort of experience with like people that we work with, I feel like when you first talk about the nerdy shit, or I say no, just the stuff that we do, like gaming and fucking Lord of the Rings, Dungeons and Dragons, and all that type of stuff. I feel like everyone who isn't in that world immediately hits you with all sort of like an offensive stance and like, I'm going to take the piss out of you for this now, until you get them like one-to-one and start talking to people about like Dungeons and Dragons and shit like that. I feel like most people have some form of affinity with gaming.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose nerd, I think we like to associate with gaming and... but you can be about nerd about anything, you know, birds, that type of shit,
yeah.
Trees.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's just you being really interested in your sort of hobby, and you take it a little bit too far. And then I think, I suppose people hate it because that stigma, like you and Connor have chatted about it as well, but I suppose people are nerdy in their own, if they're very one-dimensional, very nerdy in that, and it's sort of like, fuck, people just like, if someone talks to me about, you know, fungi for longer than 5 minutes, my brain switches on, like, fuck, what is this dude talking about? And if it becomes your life, then everyone's like, oh, what a dick.
Yeah, this guy's boring.
Yeah, and then they, you know, you've got the nerds, super nerds that don't wash, and, you know, it's like
the Comic-Con nerds.
Yeah, the Comic-Con nerds. But yeah, I should imagine we all know there's great nerds out there. Henry Cavill, mate. I've now got a Cavill boner. but yeah, there's so many out there. You know, it's just you taking your hobby to an extreme, and you know.
Yeah, pretty much, because like we've mentioned it quite a few times on the pod where where gaming's that such a massive industry that I feel like you're hard pressed to live your life about without gaming having some kind of effect on you, even whether it be through a series that you're watching or through fucking playing a game on your phone or some shit like that. I feel like that at some point in your life, that even down to like Candy Crush, you know what I mean, like proper old lady shit, fucking playing Candy Crush, still gaming. So yeah, it's Daryl's a big old fucking rugby player that plays Dungeons and Dragons with us.
Yeah, and I love it. It's mental, like how you can use your imagination. I suppose if you've got that, I don't know, something about you, you go in depth, or you immerse yourself in it. You really enjoy it. And yeah, I love it. I mean, you'd be surprised as well, like the amount of guys that I play rugby with that are now, because I came out as a closet nerd, through Pokemon to start with. And there was a couple of lads in my rugby team, and oh yeah, we're into Pokemon as well, and it just needed someone
Got to break the ice, that's it.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, you know, I said, oh, we're going to play D&D, and now there's a D&D group with some of like about 6-7 rugby lads.
Yeah,
and they'd all be great at it. I know we haven't played just yet, but we are aiming to. But you know, it would be fucking brilliant because everyone would just be getting involved with it. They would be, you know, like we're in a tavern, and my first thing is, right, where's the fucking birds? And we need to get Nal in this shit. And also, oh yeah, we've got this persuasion sort of stuff that we can roll for. And, and I'm like, well, let's get free shit. Let's get as much stuff. So in there, and you know, not only that is you can actually, like you were talking about previously, you can imagine it as well. You're in there. I suppose you draw some of that from things like Lord of the Rings, where they go to the prancing pony and that type of thing. Look at me. I know it all. so you can get sort of half that imagery from sort of films and bits and bits. It's up to your own brain and your personality to how far you take it and what you want to do. Because I'm pretty sure in Prancing Pony, Frodo didn't ask the wench there if he could get a knockers out and have a little suck on him, try and persuade roll. It's one of, like, if you haven't played DD and you listen to this, play it. It's awesome. Don't be afraid to be a nerd, because what you think of might be a jock out there or whatever, actually they're probably secret, they're probably doing lots of stuff online they shouldn't be doing.
Like the last D&D session that we played was arguably, in like the last 5 years, the funnest time that I've had fucking playing anything. And it was playing something where I originally went in with the mindset of, I'm not going to be able to do this, I don't have the creativity for it. And yet it was so much fun. It's so much fun. And you kind of almost feel somewhat anxious about the people that you're playing with. And like, oh, do I want to put on a voice? Do I want to do this? Do I want to do that? What if people think I'm a bit weird for doing that, or blah, blah, blah. But then you quickly realise that I'm sat around a table with the same, like, with my friends, and we're all playing exactly the same fucking game. Like, the voices that you were doing our last session was just fucking fantastic. Absolutely loved it. But I felt like that comfortability of you really getting into the role play allowed everyone else to really delve into the role play as well, and I can see that developing over more and more sessions that we do. It's fun, man. I love it.
Yeah, I think it also, I mean, I'm pretty ballsy anyway. I'll go out and I don't mind, you know, doing crazy stuff in the middle of a Witherspoon's pub, but but we work off each other as well, you know. Like, people set you up for stuff. I had no intention of gobbing on you when you were a down and out.
But yeah,
when you
said,
I'm a down and out and I'm covering it, I thought, how can I make this worse for him?
I'm going to spit on him.
I'm gonna hock up a massive, shitty loogie. Can you imagine? I've probably been travelling for days. There's some dust up there.
Yeah.
I've probably been eating raw rabbit. There's a bit of fucking... It's all, you know... So, yeah. So you... Because you're setting a scene for yourself and others... I think, not it's a responsibility, I think it makes you a much better D&D player if you engulf that as well. And
yeah,
actually, now I'm in his head, I'm in his scene, but how can I add to that? How can I make that better? And I genuinely thrive off of other people like that. So the more you give, then the more I can give.
Yeah, because that's what I want to. That's what I want to almost break that barrier of understanding that I'm not playing Druim the fucking fighter dwarf. I am Druim the fighter dwarf in that moment, and that's where I can feel myself slowly getting into that. But I'm hoping the next couple of sessions is where I can really delve into, because when you watch things like Critical Role, when they're doing their sessions, you can just see that they're not them in real life when they're actually playing. Like, they are the characters that they've created. And I just feel like to have, obviously, that's a skewed way to look at it though, because they're professionals. You know what I mean? Like, they're professional voice actors, or they're in that world, they are fucking top tier. So to then, for me as an amateur, to look at that and go, well, why aren't I exactly like them? Like, it's never going to fucking happen. Not yet, anyway. But it's definitely, it helps for the whole inspiration side of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's all. And as they've been doing it for so long, they've developed so many of what I've seen. They've developed these characters and they change them. But actually, there's sort of micro parts of that old character that's in the new character. So, you know, they're just drawing off of a wealth of their experience. And I can't remember the dungeon master's name that's got the long hair.
That name escapes me as well.
It's like Zach Penis Head or some shit.
Zach Penis.
But the way he can just be a dungeon master telling them what to do, and then all of a sudden just jumps into a character of, and multiple characters. The last time I saw it, I think he was in a, what was it? Like a meeting with something like probably around about 20 other characters, two texts.
Fantastic.
Yeah, about 20. And he literally played 20 different characters, different voices, male, female. And it is impressive, but not undoable. I think I could now.
You reckon you could do it? Yeah.
Yeah. Like what we got here. We've got the monk, we've got a little.
It's a gorilla.
Gorilla. Yeah. So you meet a gorilla and I sit on this table looking out the window. Do you know what I mean? And then we've got, who else we've got?
There's a fish. Fish character. Right. Quick fucking wooden woman.
Oh, God. Oh, being made of wood is fucking old.
I love it.
Yeah, so you'll get there, Reese, and I will definitely play it and try and develop more and more. I've been thinking about maybe two other sort of characters that I want to do. Yeah, and I suppose like that's sort of nerdy, but you can get away with that. But I think what really hit me is when I went and bought a little minifigure and started to paint it, and then I was like, oh my God.
This is it.
Nerd. Nerd. The nerd bolt of lightning has hit the tip of my penis.
Do you have like a little magnifying glass to...
Oh, yeah. I went out.
Have you got the full set?
I went the whole lot of painting. Paintbrush. Like, fucking whatever.
Have you finished one yet?
I'm probably about 90% through, but I had that incident where I just spilt fucking paint everywhere. Yeah. And I just lost my shit. It just went everywhere. And trying to get rid of it is such a fucking pain in the ass. It was everywhere. It's only like a small tin of paint, but I spilled half it and it managed. I mean, I think everywhere. I got some of it under my fucking asshole or something inside me. It was everywhere, literally all over the floor, all over the. Oh man, what a nightmare.
So is that because we're going to be playing D&D in a couple of weeks? Do you reckon it'll be ready by then?
Yeah,
definitely. I haven't even fucking glued mine together, man. Yeah. I haven't even glued them together.
Wow.
I'm just...
Pull your finger out and...
But it's another thing where I just don't know if I would enjoy painting. Because it's so... Like when I was talking to Connor about it, I just know full well I'd probably just go two colours and that's it.
Yeah, I think we've made... And we've jumped in balls deep, really. Because we've got minifigures. I mean, there's so much detail on there and fine detail. Whereas I think they recommend that you just start with, figures that are sort of 5 inches tall and you can work at it. But now we've gone, fuck it, because...
Tiny, tiny, tiny.
ADHD or whatever has kicked in. We're like, I'm not missing out. I'm going to have a character and it's going to be the balls.
It's terrible, man. Even, like, just... drawing it away for a second, Pokemon. Fucking hell, what a vice that was for you, me, and Ash. I know Connor narrowly escaped that fucking...
Yeah, that little maybe a bit too kiddie.
Fuck me. I mean, I suppose the difference between the three of us is that you actually play Pokemon.
Yeah.
Whereas me and Ash were just pure, at that point, just gambling.
Yeah. You just thought, fuck, I'm gonna pay out £7 and I'm going to make a million.
Yeah. And really, I'm going to make loads of money and then make app. I mean, all of mine are fucking sat right next to you. My binders and everything. Like, there's some cool shit in there, but I feel like playing competitive card games just isn't in my wheelhouse whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's how I started, really.
Because you got fucked up by a lot of kids.
Oh, man. Fuck it. And I went all the way to Liverpool for it now. to get my ass handed to me by a...
my children.
Like a fucking 10-year-old kid. Yeah, so I started online probably, you know, through Pokemon, not Pokemon Go, whatever. What was it called?
That TCG.
Yeah, that's it, Pokemon TCG.
Yeah.
Played it on there, started to learn a little bit more about it. And again, you just got to dive in there. And it's ever evolving again. It changes, you know, there's different sort of... there's different sort of characters or sort of different sets to play, but it's constantly evolving, you know, because you're playing against someone else that could have something that has a weakness for you, and it's really interesting, really in depth. And I loved it and enjoyed it, but if you don't move it, it's not like I can't remember what happened, but I think I changed jobs or something. I just missed a loop for like a month. I missed a release, and then I was fucked. You know, you're behind, and you got to buy a load of new cards. Got to hope you get. Then you got to go on. You got to build these sets, and you get one set. And I was doing really well online, and actually, like, Liverpool really did help. I went up for the UK Championships in Liverpool with a friend. He done really well. He was insane. Like, we was only sort of an amateur class, but he won it. He done really well. He went on to Worlds and tried to win the pro and didn't last too long. Fucking London wiped him out.
Yeah. Fair play.
Yes. But yeah, I can see the draw with the cards. Like, there's some beautiful cards out there. It's like anything.
The art style is fantastic, man.
And as collectors as well, you know, you collect... I mean, you've got multiple stuff around here. Lots of
Funko Pops, figures, trinkets.
Yeah, it's a fucking collector's wet dream, isn't it? And it's definitely a nerd's wet dream.
Because we went from collecting the cards. It was first trying to figure out what fucking sets that we wanted, because obviously there's a whole plethora of evolution sets, fucking expansions that you can roll with. And I believe it was Ash that first started doing it, and it was TikTok Live from that nostalgia trading card geezer, and he started buying off of him. And then I feel like that's what fucking fueled us, because he'd open the packs in front of you. You'd fucking buy whatever on his shop, and then he'd open them live. So basically, like gambling, because you have no idea what you're fucking getting, and then yeah, he'd send them to you and blah blah blah, and then slowly collecting sets, and then that exhilaration when you pull a really decent card and you're like, oh my god, I've got fucking like Crown Zenith come out, and it was like one of my first couple of packs, and I pulled one of the what was it called? One of the gold cards. They had like four or five of them.
Yeah.
But I can't remember which one I got. I can't remember the name of the Pokemon. But then after that, I was like, yeah, I'm hooked. And then we started rolling into the realms of getting graded cards. And I was like, that's like Funko Pops and then going into signed Funko Pops.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's like the next fucking level with collecting Pokemon cards. And after that, just buying fucking slabs after slabs after slabs of fucking Pokemon. Because they're cool things to have.
Yeah.
I feel like the act of, here's a trading card game designed for a purpose to be used in a fucking game, but let me encase it in fucking plastic so you can't actually use it as a card.
Yeah.
You can, but it'd be a ball ache. For some reason, that you've now made me unable to use that for its purpose has made it even more enticing. So in one of those boxes, there's just a row of fucking slabs. And that was like ultimate fucking, because then the people on TikTok Live started doing like mystery packs for slabs and shit. It's like, spend 50 quid and then you get a fucking slab out of it and you might get a decent one. I was like, oh, fucking hell. And I'm pretty sure the first slab I bought, it was like, it was meant to be a card worth 40 quid, but the geezer had put the wrong slab in the wrong bag and it was worth like 90 quid.
Nice.
And I was like, I'm going to make loads of money.
Yeah.
Never fucking sold any of them though, have I? No. All of this shit here, God, it's all worth so much money. It's worth fuck all until you try and sell it.
Yeah.
It's worth nothing. This is all poor investment. Thousands of pounds.
But to a nerd, when I walked in, I was like, oh God, fucking hell. Oh my God, look at those little signs, Sarah.
You know what I mean? It's so weird that you grow some form of obsession. It's just ornaments, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just our version of fucking ornaments.
It's no different from your nan collecting fucking Ladro or some shit like that.
Teacups and shit like
you're
that.
You're right, man. It looks great. I totally see where you're coming from with the Pokemon slabs and stuff. I haven't got one. But that's not to say I wouldn't, you know, it's...
they're cool, man.
They're some mega stuff. But I won't just buy... So you won't just buy shit just because it's in a slab. It's got to be right and it's, you know, it's got to be unique.
Because I feel like that's where you start is... You buy a slab, it's graded or whatever. And then once it grabs a hold of you, I feel like that's when you start delving into the stuff that you really want.
Yeah.
Which is what obviously I started doing with Funko Pops. I was like, right, now I've collected a couple of these, got my first signed one. And I was like, right, my first signed one was a Gimli, so let's get all of the fucking Lord of the Rings signed ones. Yeah, and then you realise how rare and expensive they are. You go, right, well, that's almost impossible. Now, like, I think my Elrond, which is down on the bottom row, I think, somewhere, that was like 400 and something quid.
Shit.
And that's fucking ridiculous.
Mm.
But the thrill of collecting it, because this is sort of like the first stuff that I've ever collected.
Yeah.
With real adult money as well. So it's like, fucking bosh, have the money, have the fucking money. Going to things like Comic-Con. I never realised that Funko Pops were so big until you go to a Comic-Con and then you just realise that 90% of what everyone's selling is fucking Funko Pops.
Yep.
You know, this shit is mega.
Yeah, there's... It hooks you in big time. I'm not going to lie. And as you say, like now, like probably about 80% of those Funko Pops you don't really give a shit about. But you are one on the hunt for the gem, for the chase.
Mm.
Aren't you? One with like, fuck, actually.
Yeah, I want the decent 15
quid, but I know it's going to be 400 quid. Which it ain't going to happen at a Comic Con, I'll tell you that right out. Yeah. But and then you go too for the stuff that you like. Yeah, like, so I've just started watching... Power of the Rings, which is maybe get back into the Lord of the Rings.
Rings of Power.
Yeah, Rings of Power. And now now I'm like, right, well, I want signed Lord of the Rings shit.
Yeah, man.
And that's what you would go there for. You like, next time we go, I will be one looking that for that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And it ain't going to come cheap, and I know that. Mm. But I don't care, because I'm going to
put
my money.
That adds to the, almost to the fun of the day. Because you like I'm sure there's another Comic-Con in what, October?
Yeah.
That we're all looking to go to. I'm sure that you can find a list of the vendors that are going to be there and maybe what they're selling. Not that I've ever bothered to look. But I find it quite a nice added feature for yourself when you're going to a place like that and you're like, right, I'm looking for something specific here.
Mm-hmm.
Let me quickly skim everything, but I'm looking for something specific just to make the day a little bit more... Not exhilarating, because you're not running around fucking giddy because you might find something, but that just that little bit more, especially when you go as a group, because I feel like times that we've been, go, right, team, I'm fucking looking for a Balrog. Yeah. Fucking Comic-Con exclusive Balrog. And then everyone's just fucking eyes on, having a fucking look, and everyone knows what everyone wants. And I just like that shit, man.
Yeah,
definitely. It's good fun. But yeah, going to a thing like Comic-Con, you've got to have a hefty wallet.
Yeah, definitely. I've also been slightly... I mean, it is awesome, but slightly disappointed they haven't released any of those Comic-Con, like, Funkos. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, like, exclusive that we've been to yet where they've said, oh, this is a Comic-Con 2030?
Yeah. Yeah, every time.
What, there has been?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah, every time. Every time.
Where?
Well, the Star Wars ones there was twice.
I didn't go to Star Wars one.
But I'm pretty sure the Comic-Con one they do. Oh, maybe they didn't.
No, I can't.
Maybe they didn't.
Because I would have snapped that shit up.
Star Wars, they definitely did.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe the last Comic-Con they didn't then. Because there wasn't an actual Funko booth.
Nah, there hasn't been a Funko booth.
No.
Which is a shame. And again, a bit of a surprise. You think Funko would be all over that because they would make some mega bucks.
Yeah, but I also feel like when you're... Most of the expensive stuff when it comes to Funkos is all the older stuff, isn't it? It's the pre-owned. It's the shit that Funko themselves aren't actually fucking releasing anymore because they've already released it. I don't know. I really don't know. I kind of, like, when we go in October, I don't think there's going to be anything specific that I'll be looking for this time round.
Yeah.
But you can't not look at Funkos.
Can't not. Can't look at. Can't afford not to look at those dice either.
Oh, fucking hell! Aeroplane Jesus graded dice. Christ. Box. Fucking hell! The Comic Con we went to, our main mission there was D&D dice. Let's get some fucking dice in.
Let's get some dice. Let's and get something to hold it in.
But I feel like in this case we're not being ADHD with it, like with everything else. I feel like we're being quite smart with our newfound love for Dungeons and Dragons in, yes, let's get the minis, let's just paint them, let's play D&D, but we actually haven't done that many sessions. Yes, we need dice, but let's not buy fucking 30 packs of fucking dice.
Yeah.
But yeah, when we went to Comic-Con, every fucking store was just selling dice, and I feel like it got to a point where they're all just so nice, but they're all the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
Just slightly different. So trying to pick something. Exactly. Fuck me.
So hard. But I suppose that's what kept us going around and around and around.
Yeah, like six or seven times.
Yeah, you still love it. And then you feed off each other again. It's like, oh yeah, I like that green scene. Oh, actually, I'll go green with my character that I'm thinking about. And oh yeah, mate, that's 60 quid. Oh yeah, give it to me now. No, whatever.
Yeah, I've got the money. That the aeroplane graded fucking dice.
Yeah,
like 100 and something quid. Or was it more than that? However much it was,
60 to 80 quid.
I mean, I don't need this.
But I mean, you said it's aeroplane grade, but yeah, what? Aeroplanes ain't made out of fucking gold, are they? Do you know what I mean? It's just aluminium. So you're telling me these fucking dice are just made out of the normal metal that you get.
It's just aluminium. It's just light. That's all this is. It's just light.
I think they weren't even light either. They were fucking heavy.
I feel like that's fucking that set of dice is such a scam for however much they cost, because you're like, they will have absolutely no fucking relevance on when you roll, and you ain't sending them the fucking space.
No,
and
exactly.
Even if you do, they'd be absolutely fine.
Yeah, I'd pay that money if it was actually from the fucking Challenger 2 shuttle. I'd be I'll pay that then.
Yeah, if this come off a bit of it.
Consider it's probably come off an Ryanair fucking plane, which ain't worth shit.
Can you imagine? Old Thomas Cook.
We've got all these planes, what are we going to do? Dice. Make dice.
Make them into dice.
Ridiculous amounts of money for it.
Fucking hell. So you've been getting into Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power, that world. I'm so jealous of the fact that you get to watch the extended editions of Lord of the Rings for the first time ever.
It is. If you've not watched the extended versions, get your shit on it, because it makes so much more sense.
All right,
it's 3 hours 58 minutes long, but mummy, we're nerds, what else are we gonna do?
Yeah, I feel like if you're sat there with the intention to watch the entire trilogy of Lord of the Rings, then the extra couple of hours, it's not really gonna make that much of a difference.
It's pretty mental. You get to see and hear so much, and it makes more sense. And I suppose right now is the right time to start watching it again, because you've got, as I say, the Rings of Power, which is a lot of the backstory,
There you go.
There you go. So which just makes so much more sense. And Yeah, you can really immerse yourself into the that.
There's a big old fucking rabbit hole that you can go down with the lore surrounding Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, The Silmarillion, if you really wanted to read into that. Even just reading the books, because obviously they're different to the movies. Obviously, they all follow the same sort of path.
Yeah.
But there's details there that are different. I've never read the books myself, but it's always been something that I wanted to do. They're just so daunting because they're so fucking big. It's like, oh, I've always like, as a kid, I've always argued, oh, why would I want to read the book? I could just watch the movie. It's like, well, now that I'm older, so if I know, because there's way more lore that they can portray in the books because they've got way more freedom than fucking on screen.
Yeah, I've not read the books either, and that's why I think The Rings of Power is good for me, because I'm like, oh, yeah, this is... I mean, there's probably people like, oh, yeah, but they didn't follow this, and they didn't do that, and, you know, you're welcome to that, absolutely. But again, yeah, I'm not going to read those books. I remember trying to read, the first book, and it was so intense in the first, chapter. And I was like, fuck this.
It's too much.
Fuck this shit.
Because you can do the audiobooks. I know Connor listens to a lot of audiobooks rather than actually reading. And I've never actually tried that myself. But obviously they do it for Lord of the Rings. And I was tempted to start that. Because I feel like all of us drive quite a bit for work.
Yeah.
So if anyone's going to be able to finish audiobooks and podcasts and shit like that, I feel like we've got a decent chance of doing it.
Yeah.
You're not just walking to work and then sitting in an office fucking with an audiobook in the background.
Yeah, unless I'm driving that fucking Land Rover, which is it ain't even got a window roller. No,
grandfather clock in the dash.
You can put it in reverse and go backwards in fucking time.
Yeah.
It's a piece of shit. My back has only just recovered from driving that piece of shit.
It sounds terrible when we fucking ring you and you're in that.
Oh, man, the window's cracked. It's got back windows like a slidey hatch that you could serve food from. And it rattles like a fucking cunt. And I know you hate it when there's any background noise as it is, but... drive that bastard.
Being on the phone with someone and hearing background noise is the... Oh, fucking hell. When it was you and Connor in that welfare van...
Oh, again, yeah, that panel.
Fucking hell, that panel. That used to drive me up the walls.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Shit.
It's just so fucking annoying.
The simple things in life can make you pissed off. Yeah, so... yeah, you're right. Audiobooks are a good way ahead. But I think, again, it's audiobooks, isn't it? It's another excuse. You know.
I feel like it's that weird in-between, isn't it? I don't think there's anything wrong with audiobooks, but at the same time, okay.
There's nothing like having a good old book and reading it and using your imagination, but you need time and you need that.
Yeah. Because obviously I went, again... ADHD wise went mental, and when I got into the World of Warcraft books, went and fucking, I think if you want to read the entire lore strict series, there's like 64 books, something like that,
really?
And they're thick fuckers, and I like found the list of the order you're supposed to read it in, and then asked Steph for like 2-3 months, went on a mad buying spree. I was like, I'm going to read all of them. However, someone's told me there's a correct way to read them, so therefore that is now the law and I must read it that way. So I need to now buy book number 1 through to 64.
Yeah.
And then I spent a long time going on Vinted, eBay, fucking looking anywhere to buy all of these books in the correct order. And I think I got to maybe like book 17 and have now just fizzled out.
Yeah.
I've only fucking read 2 of them.
Got them. Bang,
got them. No space for them. Only read fucking 2 of them. But there's something about owning, having a book that's something to do with one of your hobbies.
Mm.
Especially something as big for me as World of Warcraft. To then have, because so many people that I play with are like proper nerds, like real decent people.
Mm.
but some of them are so more involved with the inner workings of World of Warcraft than I could ever hope to be, and therefore they're the same with the lore as well. So they've read all the books and they fucking know everyone's names and why this happens and why people do this and blah 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 blah. And having the ability to do that after trying to read the books is like fucking hell. Like that is an undertaking. Trying to buy the fucking things alone is ridiculous. Like some of these books are like over £100 because they just don't fucking make them anymore. Mm. And like I say, they're to the point where they started bringing out some of the books where it was like 3 or 4 wedged into one rather than you having to buy the individuals. And it's just so much effort. But again, another cool thing. They'll probably be ornaments, to be fair. I probably won't even fucking read them. Mm. They'll just sit on a shelf and just look pretty.
Fucking cool ornaments.
It's just so stupid. Yeah. And this is all from gaming. Like when you, this is what I mean when we started at the very beginning. Gaming will get you at some point in so many different ways in your life to the point where I'm a massive gamer. But now, anything to do with gaming, you give me a fucking ladle with Blizzard written on it. I want the ladle. I got no need for a ladle. I'm not making soup.
Not pouring soup for
people. I'm not pouring it, but I'll have that ladle, please.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they've really, like with Star Wars fans, I could take a shit on the floor and spray Star Wars on it. Someone's going to want it.
Oh, totally. Totally.
You know what I mean?
Is it a 1 in 6 shit?
Yeah.
Like, what are chances of me getting that one? No one else in the world. There's only other 60 other people that have got that shit. Yeah. Oh, I've got that Star Wars shit.
I need that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, fucking true, isn't it? It's, and there are certain categories, like you said in previous podcasts, that Star Wars people will buy whatever. They'll buy it back. They'll be 70-odd years old,
yep,
and they'll buy a Star Wars kids backpack.
The minute you say that something's limited edition, that you haven't even got to prove to me that that's limited edition.
No.
The collector's editions, I've got obviously the Assassin's Creed Shadows collector's edition that will come when that game releases. God of War Ragnarok, Mirage, like... I don't know how limited these are. It's not like they said they're limited edition, collector's editions, and there's only fucking 500 of them. They just said that these are the ones that are going to come out. But just that wording alone, a collector's edition. Oh, I need it.
Give me that. Give me that.
I've got no purpose for any of the stuff in here. No purpose. Probably only ever going to be my eyes and fucking a couple of other people that'll ever see it. And I'll never sell any of it. But... just trinkets, man, like a fucking magpie.
Mm.
Gaming magpie.
Yeah.
We've just been to Nerd Base and you spent fucking £20 on shit that's probably going to go in the bin.
Yeah, yeah, because guess what I had on it? Star Wars. And it had the chance of winning like an Imperial Guard and a Stormtrooper that, you know, and I just fucking bit it.
And they do the smart thing of throwing the odds on the back of the box as well, like 1 in 73 chance and you go, oh. So if you get it, you go, fucking hell, I got one of the rare ones, didn't I?
One of the rare ones. What am I going to do with it?
Oh, I love this. Yeah, nothing.
Put it on my shelf.
Yeah, I'm going to do absolutely nothing.
Buy a LGTP, QR, whatever they are, feather duster and dust it off. That's as much as you're going to touch it and play with it. It's a strange old thing, but once you're in it, you're in it and you're fucking in it with the money as well, you know. You'd eat cans of soup for the rest of the year if you could get a Obi-Wan Kenobi signed Funko, which is probably what I'd done. And I love soup now.
I've got one.
Got so much soup, I can do that fucking ladle that you bought.
It is. You can easily understand how, in terms of an industry, it makes the most money, because what was it we were talking about in a previous episode, that it's the film and music industry combined. Gaming makes more money by quite a lot than those two industries put together. And yeah, when you look at the things like the merch, even down to games now, £70 for a game is like the industry standard now. Even me being fucking 27, I remember when the standard for a game was about 30, 40 quid. That was like the norm. And most of the time you got a fucking physical game with that. Whereas a lot of times now it's a digital only format. And to be young and try and get involved deeply into gaming must be so arduous just because of how fucking expensive that truly is. Trying to get a PS5 when they first release, if you've never owned a PlayStation or anything like that, and that's your first console, fucking good luck.
Yeah. You just gotta have fucking parents that are awesome.
Yeah.
Or rich.
But I feel like that's why people in our situation, when you get older and you start earning your own money and you're paying your own way through life, why, if you've got a bit of spare dough, you start throwing it into the things that you weren't ever allowed to...
Exactly.
To get access to.
Yeah, I don't know if I was telling you, but I was in Smith's Toys, and I ended up buying a like Ghost from Call of Duty stand that you can put your controller on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went to the counter, I looked behind me, and there's like just all kids there. I'm like, I'm fucking 46 years old, still buy it. But then I smiled. I didn't feel embarrassed. I just thought, yeah, because I've got the money, so fuck off, bitches.
Yeah, you can afford this.
You got parents to rely on. I'll buy what I want when I want.
But it's great, man.
Yeah. It's awesome. I don't think you really, I don't know, do you ever like grow up like that or deny yourself that pleasure? Must be terrible, mustn't it, if you think like, I've got to pay for NCP parking during the week. I'm not going to buy myself.
I've got to pay my ULEZ. I don't ever see, I don't see gaming as something that's childish. I don't see what we do as childish anymore. I feel like I've also got to a point now where when I was younger and people would take the piss out of, especially being younger in school and playing World of Warcraft, that was just seen as like the penultimate of being fucking nerdy. So everyone would take the piss. If you and me were in school together, you were probably fucking taking the piss out of me.
No.
And I'd be crying in the corner.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
I mean, so I was a little bit nerdy, and I had a friend going through secondary school whose name was Jason Beater, and he was into Doom, like on PC. I used to go around his house, and I used to think, like, we got on really well, but he was a fucking nerd. And he was sort of kid. You'd go around his house to play Doom on PC, and he'd have three deaths, and you were only allowed one. That's just, it was his house, his console.
Yeah, his rules.
Blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I always remember, like, we got on really well. We used to go around each other's house, like, daily basis. And we sort of split up as friends a little bit after, or just before, sort of the end of fifth year. I don't know what you class that these days for. But I always remember laughing at him and taking a piss out of him, not because he was a nerd, because when I walked downstairs to go home, I noticed on the side cabinet there was a letter. And it obviously come from his bank, and it said, obviously as a kid at those age, they call you Master. So it was Master Beater on his...
They call you Master, do they?
Yeah, you used to get a letter from your bank, like Leeds Bank Building Society, Master Beater.
Oh, Master Beater.
That was it. I think that's where our friendship ended, because I was I would take the piss out of a little nerd.
It was horrible cunt after that, was you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All them 3-to-1 deaths fucking got to me. I was like, you know, why can't I have more than one?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I definitely would have took the piss. I wasn't a bully at by any means. I was sort of in the in crowd, but I wasn't a nerd. But I was definitely a sporty, outside type of player of all sports. You know, I remember another gaming thing was we used to have BBC computers, and that was our IT. And I used to play, can't remember, a French game on a like 20 and enough. And that's just shit. And I remember looking out the window and everyone's playing like hockey and football, and I was like, I'd rather be out there than
indoors.
That's
what I want to be doing, yeah.
Which is probably still kind of true nowadays, but I know the difference between, like, I want to go and play rugby, or I want to go, but also I want that time of, I want to immerse myself into a different world.
Yeah. I feel like I'm at a point now where it's sort of, if anyone, not that, I think we're beyond the point of, like, people taking the piss out of you because you game, plus I feel like we're far, far comfortable in our own skins to, like, I don't give a fuck. If you want to have a go at me because I'm playing World of Warcraft or D&D, I don't care.
Yeah.
But I also like to... I like to explain it to people that don't understand it. I feel like that's why so many people still take the piss. Because you go, no, like, you're taking the piss because you don't understand it.
Yeah.
So let me explain it to you. If it's then not your thing, then you crack on, you continue taking the piss, but I'm not going to care. But normally, those people that are taking the piss, once they understand what it is that you're doing and why you do it, tends to almost click and go, oh, actually, no, they sound like they're actually having quite a lot of fun. And like with the D&D stuff, I feel like there's so many people where from an outside looking in, they'll go, that is fucking nerdy. I ain't ever doing that. I'm not fucking doing that. But when you actually get involved with it and you realise I'm just chilling around my mate's house with all of my friends and we're just fucking pelting dice at each other and then trying to fuck each other over in this weird, whimsical world that is sadistic and horrifying and lovely at the same time, it's that fantasy of just being able to switch off for a minute.
Yeah.
And be able to, if I want to fucking bury my axe in your head, I can't do that in real life, nor would I want to. It's not who I want to be. However, on a tabletop, Ashley Harris Prince, if I want to put my fucking axe in your skull, bang, I will. Yeah, but I'm going to have to roll some dice for it first.
It's only a matter of time, isn't it?
No, we've got a truce going on.
Oh, yeah.
We've truced it out.
Why are you winking at me?
No, because he listens to this. He'll listen to this and he'll think that we've got a thing going on.
I'm glad he listens to it because he hardly ever presents it.
Leave him alone.
Stop winking at me.
There's a truce on that.
All right.
And me and him ain't going to attack each other when it comes to D&D.
All right. Another wink. All right. Yeah, no worries.
Absolute bollocks.
He's mouthing to me. Ash is going to get a middle parting.
No, absolute bollocks. We're going to go and do the Patreon now.
All right, you fucking nerd bastards.
Daryl, it's been an absolute pleasure.
No.
I'm sure people will listen to this and enjoy it.
The pleasure's been all mine. I can't wait to go home and wait for this episode. And whilst I do that, I'll probably watch a little bit of transvestite porn.
Just a great way to end it. See you later, everyone.
Bye-bye.